Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back.
Bum, bum, bum.
We're here today to talk about the fourth installment from George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road.
Dude, love this movie.
In preparation for the next installment, Mad Max Furiosa.
Yep.
Which is a prequel to Fury Road.
Yes.
So, and I think the casting decision from Anya Taylor-Joy to be a younger Charlize Theron.
Yep.
Is, you can see it. Like when you watch the Furiosa trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, she totally plays a young Charlize, which is great. Furiosa.
I think George Miller said, well, he's always said this is her odyssey, but I think he said it spans 20 years.
Okay.
And leads up into Fury Road.
Gotcha.
Which we know because there's a young Immortan Joe, which is cool because the actor died like...
He died in 2020. I looked it up, yeah. Damn. So
R.I.P. Pour one out for my boy Toe Cutter.
Yeah, so I don't know off the top of my head how old he was. I'm sure I could just look it up here in like 2 seconds, but he was 73 when he passed away. Still young.
Look at that handsome devil.
Hugh Caisburn. I'm pronouncing his abbreviated last name correctly, but still young, you know, 73. He would have been 77, well, not quite 77, but 76 at this point, he would have been able to see at least this movie, which would kind of been cool, you know?
That would have been really cool.
Just to like kind of be, you know, obviously heavily involved in that universe through various movies and then kind of just watch like a prequel and kind of just be like, oh, this is a young version of my character. That's kind of cool to see, you know what I mean? But,
man.
You know? Yeah, it's unfortunate, but still, the torch must be handed off to other actors, and the show must go on. And to talk about Fury Road here as an example, I think one of the great things about the whole thing, especially this movie, is when you've got a creator has done all the movies, right? So he's continuously writing the world. His world building is... Mm-hmm. Just continuing on and evolving. So it just presents a nice flow of story with different characters or like related characters. And, you know, it makes sense. And that's why you get good films. And when you compare it to like other IPs that just have, you know, different directors coming in and out, like it does make it hard for to have consistent storytelling and, yeah. In world building and just to have like a connection where, because George Miller's he's not young either at this point.
I think he's in his 70s.
Yeah, he is 79.
You know what my 79. Favorite fun fact about George Miller is?
What?
And I could be slightly wrong in this, but my favorite fun fact about George Miller is that he is, quote unquote, the master of the road, which is, you know, I'm sorry, but when we talk about action movies with cars, Fast and Furious and those 25 movies had nothing on any of these movies. But he's done this, and I'm very confident that he also did Happy Feet.
He did.
Yes.
He did.
And that is
both.
Just my favorite little fun fact. You can go from this to this, and it's just like, what a guy.
Yeah. You go to make great action films to making two fun animated movies about penguins.
R.I.P. to Robin Williams, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, God, dude.
That one still hurts to this day.
Yeah.
That one and Kobe. Those two hurt.
Yep.
Anyways.
But this movie had a decent amount of good actors in it, you know, with Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, Nicholas Hoult, Hugh Caisburn. Who else was in this? Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz was in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Played one of the ladies.
Yes. There's a couple of the other ladies that I wasn't really too familiar with.
No, it seemed like for the most part that was kind of it.
Yeah.
Like
when I, because I hadn't watched this movie in a couple years, and when I was like, "Oh, that's right, I forgot." Zoe Kravitz was one of the girls in this. Didn't really recognize the other ones off the top of my head either. So,
yeah, that was the only one I really remember.
Yeah.
Like from anything else.
Yeah, and it's sort of like if you've never seen this movie before. Or if this is the first one you've seen, then it's sort of like you really should. And I highly recommend going back and watching the first three Mad Max movies.
Yeah. One thing I will say, though, is if you don't like, because like I have unfortunately met people that just they just don't like movies past a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it's not like you're really missing anything continuity wise.
No, you're not.
It is. The only thing you really need to know about this one is that the next one that comes out is a prequel to this one, but like, that's really it. But yeah, you need to go see what it came from to how it got to this, what I consider the best action movie of all time.
Yeah. It's definitely just the setting and you learn more about the post-apocalyptic world that they live in, you know, was it Australia, right?
You got to assume.
That's what they're saying or something like that.
I mean, where they shot it, though. Middle of the desert.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you're looking at it, it just like it looks like a barren wasteland of desert, sort of like, you know, you wouldn't really want to be there or live there. And you understand that like the two things that are the most sought after things are water and what was it? Petrol, I believe.
Oil.
Yeah. Oil, ironically.
Gasoline town.
Yeah. Was it Gasoline Town and then there's Bullet Town?
Bullet Town, yep. Bullets from Bullet Town. There's a good chance I just imitate Immortan Joe every chance I can. Just because. It's going to be terrible. You've been warned. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing about this movie is it's obviously a very, very big action movie. And when you get into action movies, you know, going back 40 years or even 50 years, maybe even like some of the older, like Bruce Lee movies, you know, there doesn't always have to be a lot of action. I mean, you know, I think in some of the best action movies of all time, you know, like Predator as an example,
dude,
you know,
Terminator
there. Yeah. T1, T2, especially T2, Aliens, Die Hard.
Die Hard 1.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Not a Christmas movie, but a good one.
Well, that's one of the biggest debated things, I think, of like movie history now about Die Hard.
Yeah, not to get sidetracked, but that has to be... you know, I'm sure I'll think of another great movie debate, but that's the big one. Is it a Christmas movie?
We'll have to do a podcast like later in December that's like...
Best movie. Christmas movies. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about which movies are and are not Christmas movies, but they take place during Christmas time.
Which, by definition, technically makes it a Christmas movie, right?
I mean, yeah. Sort of like, people say like, oh, people always sleep on this, but I'm like, you know, Jaws is technically a 4th of July film.
You put it up there with Independence Day, dude. No,
exactly, dude. So,
that's the second one.
Just the first one.
That's funny.
Yeah, but so anyways. Yeah, but with this movie, with Fury Road, it's such an intense action, and it's all with vehicles, you know,
and it's nonstop.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what I love about it.
And there's like again, there's not a lot of dialogue, and then when there is dialogue, it's pretty straightforward, to the point. There's not a lot of conversations. It's especially from Max, you know, he doesn't speak a lot. He doesn't speak loudly at all.
Very classic Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Esque role, which I mean, he's my favorite actor. I'd say one of them.
He definitely does less talking in this role than some of his other roles, for sure.
Oh yeah. There's hardly no talking. Yeah. This. Same with Lawless.
Oh, with him in it? Yeah.
Yep, same thing.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty interesting how the movie starts with him, you know, getting caught. because he's got a really cool car.
Oh yeah,
the old muscle car. Yeah,
I could be making that up. But
I think it is. Yeah,
my car.
Yeah. And then he just, what is he called? Meat bag or
blood bag?
Blood bag. Yeah.
Blood bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blood bag.
It's, I think, one of the funniest things, and which is also pretty cool, is just the language and the verbiage of this universe.
Just like when you hear it,
it's different.
Yeah, like aqua cola, that's just like, that's cool.
It's just, yeah, aqua, it's water, cola, but people are just, that's like how sweet it is to them, you know.
Well, I mean, look at them.
They're, oh yeah,
caked,
no,
they're in like layers of, it looks like they, it's like once a year.
Yeah,
Joe opens up aqua cola for the people.
Yeah, because he controls everything, and it's like, you know, he controls the water, therefore he controls the people.
Yep.
You know, and you know, Immortum Joe is not doing well in the scheme of things health wise. You know, he has a interesting living functionality with his breathing. It's like
very Vader esque.
Yeah, his mask obviously looks cool as hell.
Badass. His like medals on his like plastic looking like.
It's very interesting. This huge like frontal chest piece that has like medals on it still.
Yep.
As if he were some kind of like officer or like, you know, general pilot sort of thing, and like through like the wars or battles he's been in.
Just cool for like no reason. It's like,
yeah,
this
it's
guy,
like, what's the point of him wearing?
I mean,
it?
He looks, honestly, he looks his age. He moves.
Yeah.
He can't move the best, but like, he's cool.
I mean, he's still capable enough of driving a car.
Yeah. And honestly, I know I just said he can barely move, but I think he just needed help getting up, but he can like move and stuff because he runs in a scene later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, his vehicle is the second best vehicle.
What's the first best?
Mad Max's, even though he doesn't even drive it. It's just cool. The rig is pretty sweet.
Yeah, the rig's cool. It's not. Yeah, I would say Mad Max's car is definitely,
but
cool.
Immortan Joe's. I don't think it's connected.
No, it's like individual. Like it's only individual.
His like, yeah, it's like ride. Its own war rig that just follows him.
Yeah,
it's like a drummer boy, except it's 20 drummers and a guitar player.
Yeah, that's the other funny thing. It's just like, it's so far out with like this giant rig, and there's this guy with like 20 speakers behind him.
Yeah,
just huge stacks of speakers as if like you're at like this literally like a metal concert, you know. And there's this guy with like a double neck guitar just jamming out,
and he's like hanging from these like stretchy strings. And
yeah, dude,
he's
swinging,
got a flamethrower at the edge of his guitar,
swinging all over the place. And you know,
metal.
If you've never seen, it is. If you've never seen the clip, the skit with Conan O'Brien when they were going to, him and Andy Richter, when they were going to Comic-Con, they're like, Andy's like, yeah, I'm thinking about driving.
It's only like 2 hours.
And so they drive, but they drive and they do a spoof on Fury Road. And, you know, Andy is Immortan Joe and Conan is the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny. It's so well done. It's a short, you know, 3-minute skit or something like that, if you haven't seen it. But we watched it before we started recording, and it was just super hilarious, yeah, to watch.
We love Conan.
Yeah, Conan's definitely best. Great. Yeah.
I would say his is probably the best
skit.
Yes, that.
Yeah. And I think it's the other thing too, where you've got like
Doof Warrior.
Doof Warrior?
That's the guitar player's name.
Doof Warrior.
Coma Doof. He's blind.
What a name.
Coma Doof guitar player.
The fact that he can play blind as a blind guy is obviously pretty remarkable. But yeah, the flamethrower and the end of the guitar is pretty wild too.
It's just epic because the cool thing is, and you see it in the editing in the cameras, and like when the, you know, the camera will like pan over the war party.
Yeah.
And you then realize it's like, oh wait, no, like he's actually like jamming on this, and that loud metal music is following him everywhere. So, and it's just sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely just a conglomeration of just, I mean, you look at it and you're like, this is the only type of music that fits this sort of, setting here.
Yeah, just,
you know, it's post-apocalyptic. There's a massive amount of vehicles with just like spikes on them, like crazy people hanging on, jumping between the cars.
The war boys,
like, you know, that they're spray painted essentially. You know, I was gonna say like they're definitely like kind of punk rock, but like not like the skinhead punk rock. Like,
ironically, they are bald.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've got like what do you call it? Like imprints on their bodies too.
Oh, like brands.
Yeah, brands
of the like a Morton Joe symbol.
Yep.
Or like, I forget his name, but his who's Nux's help.
Oh yeah,
his face was all, he's got like a smile like bolted up in his face.
Yeah,
he looks creepy.
Yeah, I don't remember all the names, but Nux is played by Nicholas Holt, who's obviously one of the main characters in the film. But what is it, Slit. Dude, that's so funny.
Which makes sense because of the slits on his face.
Yeah. I think the other funny thing too about like the names. So you've got Rictus Erectus.
That's the giant guy, right?
Yeah.
The Morton Joe's son.
Yeah.
Who's physically built like a WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
But Jones. He's a little slow on the mental front.
It literally says low IQ son.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is, you know, we haven't really addressed it, but real quick, the basis of this movie, Fury Road, very simple. As we said, Furiosa, it seems like once a year, I think, has to go get bullets from Bullet Town and gasoline from Gasoline Town, drives the war rig. But what she's doing is she is helping, I forget what he calls them, lovelies, but he has like what, five women that he is trying to have a healthy son.
Yeah.
Physically healthy, mentally healthy, all this other stuff. And, you know, all these kids are coming out dead. So he keeps them pretty much locked away and yada, yada, yada. Long story short, Furiosa is helping them escape Morton Joe and take them to her own home, the Green Place.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the plot of that.
Yeah, it's a simple plot, you know. She wants
the giant chase scene.
Yeah, she wants a better life for the women. And Morton Joe's like, they're my property.
Yep,
bring them back.
Not property.
And she's like, no.
And they all have
the chastity belts. They take them off.
Yep, they all take them off. But like,
they're like spikes on like a bear. It's like a bear trap, basically. Like, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm not gonna try anything. Yeah, but they take them off eventually.
Thank God.
You know, and one of them, because I think it was just the one that was pregnant, right?
Yeah, the model.
Yeah, the model.
What's her name?
Is it Rosie Huntington?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Married to Jason Statham.
Yes, that's right.
So, plot twist, she was the only pregnant one.
Yes.
You find out later that it was a very healthy young boy.
Yep.
RP.
Mm.
But yes, and they're escaping.
Yes.
And then the other blonde was always talking about, because I think she was pregnant too.
Yeah.
Or she might have been. Because there's a comment later on where one of the older ladies is like, are you expecting? And she's like a dirty war boy or warlord, a warlord's boy or something. And that's when she was like, it could be a girl.
Right.
And it like opened up her mind or something.
The possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty cool universe just because you've got someone who rules Gastown, who they call the People Eater, and you've got someone who rules Bullet Farm or Bullet Town, the Bullet Farmer. Like, not really complex names, but some of them are pretty cool. You know, and again, like it's a pretty straightforward plot. Like, this isn't something that needs to be super in depth.
No.
And it's like, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, It's a giant chase scene. And then Max is like, we should go back around this, like the way we came. And it's like, all right, well, it's going to be fun going back the way we came.
So crazy. It might just work.
Yeah. And then Joe was like, they're coming back the same way. Like,
yeah.
Because the Citadel is undefended.
They know it's undefended.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I like about this movie is the contrast, where obviously a lot of it has this bright, you know, golden desert look to it.
Yeah.
Right? With like the literal like hues of the film, but it's the complete opposite at night.
Bright blue.
Bright. Yeah. The blue. It's like kind of darkish.
Well, you've also got those, and I don't know what you really consider them, but when they're shooting off the flares with the different colors, like blue and red,
yeah,
and green. Cool thing was about this was George Miller had his wife edit it as the editor.
Okay.
And he wanted her to edit it because it wouldn't be like your typical. First of all, he didn't want it to look like a normal post-apocalyptic movie. He wanted it to be bright.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be vibrant and stuff like that.
Definitely vibrant.
And obviously from the point of a woman, it would be completely edited in a different way when you look at an action movie, right? And that's what you get when, you know, you get this movie. And it's just fantastic.
Yeah, it is pretty Margaret Sixel, if I'm pronouncing her name right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's interesting to have a different set of eyes or a different type of eyes edit something, which, I mean, obviously worked out.
Oh, yeah, this movie is beautiful. And
yeah,
as we said before we started recording, I watched this in the black and chrome edition.
Which, not black and white.
Which in my eyes is night and day, but way more beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it in the black and white or black and chrome.
Watch it?
Sure, why not?
Let's go.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward with the action sequences, the practical effects.
Whole lot of it, yeah.
And obviously there is, you know, CGI involved, but still, I think just to make the vehicles
have it make sense.
Yeah, like this is something where like you can't really overload on CGI because then it becomes like way too noticeable. And then I think at that point it would just start to just kind of, I think, take away like the authenticity of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, sure, I love when they drive into that giant
storm. That thing, that scene is sick.
That is amazing. Because, like, number one, like you see like the perspective of how giant this storm is. But like once they get in the storm, it's just like there's lightning, there's massive, enormous tornadoes. There's like fire tornadoes. It's just like
it's wild.
It's amazing. And I obviously, like, you've got to use CGI for that, sure. But at the same time, like, what happens when they go in, you know, and they, you know, seemingly survive. And what was it? They're just buried in sand.
Yeah, everybody is.
Because it's just like a massive sandstorm. But, you know, something like that's pretty cool. And obviously, again, like I said, you have to use CGI for it because you can't. That doesn't exist. Nor do you want to just, you can't risk people's lives like going into a storm. So,
yeah, can't do that.
And I think that's what we are continuing to get in the Furiosa prequel. I think I saw something that was like, there's a huge, or like a super long.
There's a 17 minute action sequence that took X amount of days to shoot.
Yeah, it was. I forgot how many days. But
the crazy thing to think about is George Miller doesn't write scripts.
He just storyboards, right?
Yeah, he storyboards the whole movie pretty much. And so I guess during the production of Fury Road, Tom Hardy got frustrated because he couldn't make sense of what he was filming. And at that point, you just have to trust what George Miller is doing. And then I think I remember, what's her name, also getting a little frustrated too.
Oh, Charlize.
Yeah, getting a little frustrated. So I wonder if he did the same thing and he's like, hey, I don't have a script, but like this is what's happening.
I mean, I feel like if you trust the director and if you think, okay, this is the fourth installment of this universe that he's done, you know, he knows what he's doing. As long as he's doing his job as a director who also wrote the movie or story or whatever you want to call it, he knows the story, he knows how it's going to work out.
Yeah,
at that point you just need to trust him. It's sort of like, you know, are you, it's like, I don't know if it's like a point where they're just like, I don't understand my character, or like, I don't understand the sequences. But then at that point it's like, if you just shoot the scenes, then I mean, you're not editing it in post,
just say the line.
Exactly.
Do the action.
Yeah, someone, if he comes up with something on the part where it's like, you know what, we didn't have any dialogue in the scene, but I want you to say like two words, you know, like or something like that, where it's, you know, okay, just do a little take on the spot.
Yeah,
it's not like it's the end of the world. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'd say as we know, where like Denis Villeneuve, who, you know, had that little interview with Christopher Nolan, he's like, they're the opposite, you know, where Denis will do a storyboard first, then he goes back to it, and then he writes the script, and then he, you know, like redraws it or something, like something wild, like his take is. Yeah, there was a little interview conversation between Denis and Nolan. So, but
teach your own.
Yeah, but exactly. It's like whatever works for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously all make great movies. So at that point, again, you just got to trust what the director is doing. You know.
The process.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that stuff like that's interesting to hear.
It is, because then you have like people like Steven Spielberg, who's like, all right, cool, this is what I'm doing today. Like, he doesn't plan the shots out.
Right.
He just goes off the script, reads the scene, and goes, all right, cool, we're here. Let's look around. Let's do it. Then you've got Zack Snyder, our boy, my boy, rather, I guess, who will storyboard the entire movie, you know, along with the script.
Right.
So it's super interesting to see everyone's take in the process of it.
Yeah. Apparently, he worked with 5 storyboard artists to design the film, producing about 3,500 panels.
Wow.
Which is almost the same as the number of shots as in the finished film.
Wow.
As he wanted the film to be almost a continuous chase with relatively little dialogue and to have the visuals come first. So, yep. I mean, and that's exactly what we get. So it's not like we got a different sort of, you know, project or product that it's like, I'm doing it this way. And it's like, well, we didn't really get that, so it didn't really translate. No, it translated, you know, perfectly. So,
yeah, as long as you leave the scene like you're good and the director's like, yeah, we're good, then you just move on and trust the, you know, that they're going to fix it and fix it. You know, they're just going to edit it right and do, you know, XYZ.
Right.
It's a process.
You know, it's interesting here, because actually I've never read this before, but apparently this movie was supposed to be set or enter pre-production in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
And was supposed to have Sigourney Weaver as Furiosa and Mel Gibson continuing to play Max.
She would have been amazing Furiosa.
Honestly, that would have been great to see. Because it's like, number one, you've got a continuation of Mel Gibson portraying the character that he has, you know, portrayed before, right? Who literally started Mad Max.
Yep.
And then, I mean, you know, are the original action female lead of all time.
Yes.
Sigourney Weaver.
What a G.
Dude, I think she would have, not that, you know, Charlize didn't crush it, but.
But she would have just.
She would have.
Oh, I mean, man. Instantly we pictured her as Furiosa and it was like, that's it.
Dude. Now that I think about it,
she would have crushed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely.
And I could be wrong, but I think this movie was in post-production for like 2 years.
Yeah. And I mean,
It was a while.
Yeah. It was definitely postponed because of 9/11. and it was like, you know, budgeting issues and traveling, and I think it was what, yeah, at that point, I think it was in 2007, to like 2009, it was like, he was too old, so it didn't really fit with the actual timing of the movie, which, I mean, you know, I get it, like, because I think it was in 2009 they started scouting locations for, like, the potential of going into production, which didn't really happen, but there's a list of people who were also finalists for the part of Max.
Who was it? Who we got on there?
You've got Armie Hammer.
Guy's a cannibal, I think, right?
Yeah. Jeremy Renner.
Huh.
Michael Fassbender. Joel Kinnaman.
Okay.
Heath Ledger. Dude. Eric Bana.
Interesting.
And for some reason, even Eminem. What?
No way.
No, yeah, no. Eminem would not have done a good job with this. Sorry. I think out of those other potentials, I think based on the way Tom Hardy acted in this movie, I think Jeremy Renner could have done a similar job.
Yeah, I think so.
Not that Fassbender couldn't, but I just didn't see it. Now, Heath, 100%.
Wow, that guy was a great actor.
I could see him doing that. And honestly, it would have been cool because it's like, you would have seen him be the villain from Joker, right? And so now he's like this, you know, so some sort of hero-esque.
This badass.
Yeah, badass sort of character.
That would have been cool. Man, what could have been?
Yeah.
But we got Tom Hardy and he did a great job.
Can we get like Robin Williams and Heath Ledger back? Those would be two actors I wish we could get back that were too young. Gone too soon.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Gone too soon. But there's let's see, who else was involved in this? Weta. Goat. Yeah, I mean I think for the sake of like what went into this movie, you know, we were kind of talking about this beforehand, like budget wise. It says anywhere from 150 to about 185 million. And then the box office was $380.4 million. And I was a little surprised because I thought it did higher than that initially. But, I mean, it basically doubled its budget, which is good, you know.
This movie was so awesome on the big screen.
I'm trying to remember where I saw this movie because actually, ironically, it came out May 15th, 2015.
The new one comes out 24th of May. Yeah. I think.
Yep. So we got May for Mad Max. Can we just start calling him like May, like Mad Max May?
Yeah, of course.
You know, that sounds
good. Binge watch all of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That should be like a yearly thing.
It is now. Starting in 2024. We just
started it, yep.
The first annual Mad Max May movie marathon.
Yeah, look at that alliteration. I love that. I mean, I'm also excited to see Chris Hemsworth in the new movie.
I forget the guy he plays.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but
it's some epic name. Please hold.
While you look that up, I think it's, again, just even like from some of the recent things he's kind of said about Thor and
Dr. Dementis,
dude. Yeah.
So cool.
If you've seen the trailers for Furiosa, it just seems like a very different type of role for him to portray.
Yeah. I love the cape though. Very, yeah. Very Son of Asgard.
I love his like beard mustache,
his giant fake nose.
Yeah. Oh, man. Obviously, he's still jacked, so, you know.
Still awesome.
Yeah, which is fine, you know. Yeah, there's no rule that you can't stay ripped in your different roles. I know some actors like to, you know, method act and get, like, you know, like what's his face? Christian Bale. You know, where he'll go to like a skeleton.
The guy will go to extremes.
Yeah. I if I was an actor, I wouldn't really do that. I'd be like, I'll stop working. I'm like, I'll lay off the workouts, but I'm still going to work out. I mean, not like, you know, if you want me to be a little bit bigger, like if you want me to like be bulked up as opposed to like being like more cut, I'll do that. But if it's like saying like, hey, you can't work out for like this whole movie, I'd be like, why?
Sorry, dude. Gotta be small.
I'd be like, listen.
You know, funny story.
It's my health here.
What is it? Snowpiercer?
Yeah. With Chris Evans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget the director's name off the top of my head, but
yeah,
he didn't want to cast Chris Evans because he was so jacked. Not, you know, because the character, like he, I guess the character Chris Evans, I've never seen it. I guess the character Chris Evans plays, he's not the big giant hero. He's this guy that kind of goes into it. Right? So, the way he shot it was he shot it to where he didn't have to show the size of Chris Hemsworth, which is interesting.
Yeah, I've only watched it once, and because it came out like in 2013, it was like a subtle too. Yeah, it was a subtle movie. Like there wasn't a lot of marketing for it whatsoever.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, Chris Evans is in this movie called Snowpiercer? What the hell is this movie about?
Based off a book, right?
Yeah, there was actually a show called Snowpiercer too that it was based off of too. But again, one of those movies, I was like, where did this come from? It's still cool though. I would recommend checking it out at least once. But, yeah, I think again, like kind of going back to some of the dialogue that we do get, where like it's just so radical and funny at the same time, where it's like, you know, it's all like, you know, it reminds me of a little bit like the dialogue or like verbiage that is used in Warhammer with the orcs, because they're like someone like the orcs are called like war boys.
Oh really?
Yeah, and they do like cool. It's like similar type of again like verbiage, and in this movie they'll do stuff like, you know, witness and like
witness
chrome and shiny, like you just kind of just I always just hear and want to do like this like sort of like orc ish impression, you know. No. But they talk about going to like Valhalla. For Valhalla. I will carry you to Valhalla myself.
It's a Morton Joe.
Yeah. Witness me. I am witnessed. Yoga. Spray painting your face with chrome spray paint. What a placebo, bro. I'm like, I guess you could, maybe like you could get like a brief high off of it from like the lipids or something like that.
That's
like,
what it is, dude. They go crazy, and then it's like it's got to be like smelling salts. Once you hit that point, they're like, "All right, let's go."
Yeah, it's like it's almost like a mix between smelling salt and like some sort of like instant speed.
Coke.
Yeah.
Cane.
Yeah. But spray version.
Spray version.
Spray Coke.
Liquid Coke.
Yeah. But it's just a weird take that is cool for this little universe that George Miller created, you know. You know, I haven't watched the old movies in a while, and I feel like I kind of want to go back and watch them now. I think my favorite one of the three was Thunderdome.
That's the third one.
Yes.
What is that? Is that
what?
Who is? It's not Whitney Houston.
Wasn't it? I think it's pretty cool, and I'm kind of curious to see after Furiosa comes out. I don't know if you know, again, George Miller's already, you know,
Tina Turner.
Okay. Yes. That's fine. Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get another movie after this prequel, though. Like, do you think George Miller would make like a sixth movie at that point?
Well, funny story. Apparently, he has, I'm going to say, quote unquote, written the script. I guess written the idea of a movie that takes place about a year before Fury Road that follows Max. That would be fucking cool. Sick.
That would be cool.
But obviously, as we know, the process of making these movies are usually pretty long. But this one was much quicker than than Fury Road. Fury Road, I remember being in post for a minute.
Yeah, Fury Road definitely had some obstacles too. So,
but this one, I think they started shooting last year, early last year maybe, or the year before.
I mean, look, I think it would be kind of cool for there to be, again, I think it's safe to say that this, you know, Furiosa is going to be well received. It's going to be, you know, it's going to make night, money. Baby. Yeah. You know, it's slightly longer than Fury Road. Fury Road was exactly 120 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is great for an action film.
How long is this one?
148 minutes. So just under, I mean, it's like what? Just under 2.5 hours. Perfect. So yeah, then that's great for another action movie too. And, you know, yeah, setting 15, 20 years before. So in 2020, that's when George Miller started to conduct casting auditions. So, and then what was it?
I feel like at one point Idris Elba was supposed to be in it.
Maybe. I don't remember that. So principal photography took place in Australia from June to October in 2022. So.
Okay. Yeah. So
that was a pretty, you know, if they finished principal photography in October of 22 and they start production shortly thereafter through and then film everything and then do post.
Was that 8 months? How long were they shooting?
How long? I don't know how long they were shooting, but I'm saying like principal photography was from June to October of 2022.
Oh,
filming was, let's see here. Principal photography began on June 1st, 2022 in Australia and was expected to wrap by September, but filming officially wrapped in October of 2022. So, film was done filming October 22. So, from October 2022 till now.
It's been in post.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So.
Okay.
Not terribly long.
No, year and some change.
Yeah.
Production was relatively short, too.
Yeah.
Efficient.
Yeah. So, I would expect to see if there was going to be another movie that it would take the same amount of time, like from start to finish with like casting, we'll just say like 4 years. So let's say as an example,
Tom Hardy, clear your schedule, please.
Yeah. I mean, let's say as an example, we're in 2024 here. Like maybe casting starts later this year, which would be cool. So it's possible we could get to film in 2028, 2029. But I think the biggest thing and the biggest obstacle is George Miller.
Yeah, he's, you know, 70.
What did I say? 79?
Yeah. Right?
So, I mean, so basically he's by the time this movie would finish, he's 83 years old potentially.
What a legend. Well, look at Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, Martin Scorsese, yep. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, plenty of people who are, you know, older and up there, you know, but
I really hope we get another.
I think as long as he's not stressing out about it and, like, obviously he takes care of himself, like,
we'll get there.
You know, he could do it. And I mean, like, what a legacy at that point. Like, you've literally come, you know, well, not that if there was never a sixth film, I wouldn't say like the saga is not complete because you still, you know, gave us 5 movies,
yeah,
in a setting. So, but it'd be cool just to get 6, you know, kind of have that, you know, Star Wars type.
That 3 and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, you got that first, like, when did the first one come out? Like 79?
Yeah.
I think.
Or yeah, like late 70s, early 80s, something like that.
Yeah. You know, all the way through late 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe mid 80s. I don't know. With Thunderdome, and then you know, to have this, you know, 2015 Furiosa, 2024, you know, and then hopefully another one.
Yeah, first Mad Max was 79, Mad Max 2 is 81, and then Thunderdome was 85.
85, yeah.
The year I was born, baby. Look at that.
Old.
It was meant
he
to
hasn't
be.
Done that many movies.
No, he's on 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Beyond Thunderdome?
The Witches of Eastwick, Lorenzo's Oil. He did Lorenzo's Oil. Wow. Interesting. He wrote Babe. Yeah, that's right. He wrote that's Babe.
Wild. What a G.
Look at that. Going from Mad Max to The Witches of Eastwick to Babe to 40,000 Years of Dreaming. It's like an hour-long documentary. Interesting. To Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, sequel.
Sequel. Then does Happy Feet 1 and 2.
Happy Feet, yep.
So,
3,000 Years of Longing. Dude, that movie is sick.
Yeah.
So weird, but sick. That was 2022. God, I love that movie.
Based on a short story. And now, yeah, so he's only done 13 feature films. So, he's been producer for a few, but, you know. He's only the only movie he did not write was The Witches of Eastwick. He directed that, and then he didn't direct Babe, but he wrote and produced on Babe. So he honestly, his list. I mean, you make great animated films. You make great PG films with Babe, you know, and then you make a whole action saga. You know. So it's like you can be in different genres and still produce great movies.
Oh yeah.
So like I definitely think like, you know, is he the best actor or sorry, is he the best, you know, director writer of all time? Probably not, but I think he should be included in like the top.
He's the master of the road.
Yeah. I mean, again, like you know, some people can only do like one type of movie.
Yeah.
You know, some people can't, you know.
I think it's always interesting to see the range that, like, an actor can do, a range that a director can do.
Yeah.
Like George Miller.
Yeah.
Like G.
No, for sure. What would you rate this movie?
Easy. 94.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie is kick-ass from start to end.
Yeah, it's definitely like a 90, like a 93 for me, something like that, you know. I know we've kind of had the talks about, is this the best action movie of all time?
I think it is, man. I think it is.
I definitely want to say, like, for me, I know it might be considered one of the best of all time. I don't know if it's my favorite action movie of all time.
That's fair.
Because again, I think like for the sake of, if I had to throw like, it's definitely my top five. I'll say that.
Okay.
You know, but I'm throwing T2 in there. Predator.
Yep.
I just have to.
It's the action movie.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know,
I'm throwing the original Matrix movie in there.
The first one?
First one, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. God, that I just watched that movie recently, and I'm just like, I won't get started, but it's just amazing.
For those of you listening, I've never seen any of those movies.
Which is wild.
So that would be...
wild.
I guess.
We're going to have to watch at some point. My God.
Anyways. Matrix.
This, you know, Fury Road. And... man, like, I don't know if I would throw it, that. See, it's hard because I feel like I love the first Die Hard. I love Aliens. But like some of the more recent action films, like I do like John Wick, man.
Yeah, man. Like, those movies are wild.
Like you're talking pure again, like those movies have like pure action in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know. And like, obviously as they got along, like, I mean, we saw John Wick 4 in the theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched, because you hadn't seen him and you lost a bet. So, like, but you and I watched all the John Wick 1, 2, and 3.
I'm a man of my word.
And then we went to go see John Wick 4 in theaters.
Which, that was 3 hours. Because I remember leaving that going, yeah. It's 1,000 degrees in here.
Yeah, that's right. but, yeah, it's tough because there are, like, some really, really good.
There are a lot of
great action. I mean, especially recently, but I think.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's some other ones out there too. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen. You ever seen The Raid?
The Raid?
Yeah, or The Raid Redemption.
I'm not sure.
Oh my god! Like again,
I don't think so.
I think it was the second one, Raid Redemption 2. It's literally like all, you know, martial arts, but the premise again is very, you know, similar. And it's not to get too off course here with Fury Road, but it's just like when you're talking about how Fury Road is a constant action sequence of chase scenes, you know, and then there is some, you know, fist fighting on moving vehicles, you know, like there's just, it's constant action.
It's madness,
you know? And yeah, it's not like the, you know, Fast and Furious, you know, type stuff.
Which those movies are awful.
they should, you know, to me, I always said it, they should have just stuck to like the actual like racing. Now, not like we got to save the world. It's like, what?
You know,
you would never try and hire car thieves to save the world. Never. It's in a world of like, you know, disbelief with movies, that's just like it's too far-fetched.
It's, you've got Fast Furious, then you got Too Fast, Too Furious, then you got Tokyo Drift. Could have left it there. And then you got the fourth one, which is interesting. Then you have the fifth one, which is actually takes place before something else. And then you have the one with The Rock. And then you have the other one with The Rock. And then you have just The Rock and Jason Statham one. And then you have the one with Brie Larson. And then you have the two with Wonder Woman. And then you've got the one with, oh God, the old
John
lady?
John Cena is in one now.
John like, Cena's like, in it, one. Our own Furiosa here.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Now, yeah.
Take notes.
It just, I don't know.
It's so frustrating.
I wouldn't include any of those movies in the action, like,
no, dude, those movies
top
are
list
just,
or whatever.
Like I said, those first ones, like, I remember watching the first
ones. That's what got me into cars, really. Like, I mean, well,
I never got into cars, but I like those movies.
Enough cars.
But, you know, Paul Walker, RIP.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, I just fell out of it, I guess.
No, yeah. And again, like, understandable, you know. But, yeah, it again, for what Fury Road does, you know, comparing it to, like, another, like other movies that have seemingly constant action, you know, or, like, preludes to action, you know, where, like, you know, Predator sets up, you know, like when they build traps and or they're like hunting the Predator or like, you know, whatever it happens to be, you know. And it's like same thing with, you know, T2, they're running, whether they're being hunted, they're being chased, like they're fighting, you know. And so it's like, that's the concept. Same thing with, you know, Die Hard, you know, or Aliens. Like there's a formula to it.
Yeah.
And Fury Road, you know, is when it has become like the current day, like epitome of like the, you know, potentially the best action movie of all time sort of thing. So,
it's just epic.
Yeah. We're definitely looking forward to the next one, to, Furiosa. So
Furiosa.
But yeah, if you haven't seen Fury Road, you definitely should. I would say go back and watch the first three Mad Max movies. You don't have to for, you know, current continuity for Fury Road or Furiosa.
I think they're on Max. At least they were.
Yeah, I think they were too.
I don't know if they still are.
Because Fury Road I watched on Max.
Really?
Yeah.
I just went to my iTunes and watched it.
Yeah.
Black and Chrome.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I got to check the iTunes store, but see what it is.
See how much it is.
Yeah, but definitely recommend watching it for sure. But you want to say anything else about it?
You know, I don't. I want to reemphasize that this is, in my opinion, the best action movie of all time. And the combination of Music by Junkie XL.
Junkie XL, yep. It's coming back.
Yep. The action sequences.
Yeah.
The cinematography.
Yep.
Had a lot of interesting zooming, and but it was so cool, and it looked, like I said, this does not look like your typical post-apocalyptic movie.
Right.
It's beautiful. It's bright. Like there's two shots of it, of when she, Furiosa takes her arm off,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of walks into this, on the sand.
Yeah.
And just falls to her knees and cries and yells. And it's just this beautiful, she looks like she's on Arrakis, you know? So, yeah, definitely go watch it. It's not your typical action or post-apocalyptic movie. It's different. It's its own thing, and it's rad. So watch it.
Definitely rad. Yep. I concur. So watch it. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on X at Plot Strikes Back.
Nola.
And tell us what you think. If you loved it as much as we did and continue to admire its greatness as an action film. And if you're looking forward to Furiosa, the fifth installment from George Miller, as much as we are as well, stay tuned. We will definitely be having a episode dedicated to that movie.
Oh yeah.
And that'll about do it. We've got some other movies up in the pipeline that we'll be releasing here and recording soon. But until then, you have been listening to The Plot.